You are now listening to the Soul Trader Podcast, music, creativity, and other plans, with your hosts, Simon James Betts and Corey Stewart.
Here we are again, and I'm thinking that we should include the stuff that we do before the clap, and that we start.
We should.
It's always quite entertaining.
Yeah,
it makes us laugh. So
well, that's for the Patreon.
I don't know if
patrons.
That's, yeah.
The big 2-0, episode 20.
Awesome. 20 episodes. That means
one more to go before. In America, they can drink.
I was going to say, it's 20 weeks.
20 weeks.
So we kind of, I guess 26 weeks is probably going to be a thing, because that's literally going to be half a year of podcasting. So we're kind of closing in on that a little bit, which is kind of, when you think about it. And I think that, I thought of before we started. I've got the Google thing still unplugged
in the background, cool.
So no interruptions from Google this week.
But that was particularly funny though, last week's episode with the Google, whatever your Google thing is, sort of speaking, and we can all hear it.
What do you want?
Oh, it was lovely.
You should be
made sure I left that in there.
I don't think with Google you can choose a voice. You know, with Siri you can change the voice.
Oh, can you?
Yeah, but you should be able to choose. See, the thing is, you should be able to choose how it responds as well.
Mm.
So it's just like, hey, Siri, and it goes, yeah, what do you want?
Yeah, mate. Yeah, what do you want, mate? Yeah. It'd be good having a sort of Basil Fawlty sort of one, you know. Hey, Siri, yes, what? What do you want? You know, that'd be awesome.
I thought you were going to say like Manuel, and every time you tell us something, it'd be his. I was going to say, it's like that already. It's already Manuel.
Care?
Oh. It already understands basically nothing you say to it. I think I've actually got the Irish lady as my Siri voice at the moment. I have to check that. But
that would be interesting.
The other day it did something really. Maybe that's what I was talking about. Like, I don't know, why was I talking about Siri last week?
Well, you were talking about Siri last week because. Oh, was this before the Google?
Yeah, because I said, hey, Siri, and then I said, hey, Google, and that's when it went off. But
I don't know. I don't know why you were talking about Siri.
Maybe I'm repeating myself, because I have conversations about these kind of things. But the other day Siri was giving me directions, and it was like dictated a message, and it was like, would you like to send it? And it was just like, what the hell was that? It's like Siri orgasm, just as she was trying to bring my message back. Yeah. Anyway, getting on to the topic of discussion, and I guess it kind of relates to 20 episodes in 20 weeks and going from, you know, just doing another thing, is we were talking about burnout.
Yes.
Which is, it's a thing.
It is a thing.
It's actually, it is officially a thing. It's a medical condition, I guess.
Oh, okay. It's in the big book of sort of medical conditions.
It's recognised
as a diagnosable thing.
Yes, okay. That you can actually officially be kind of burnt out. But, you know... You were just saying before we went to.
Ironically, we're talking about this because that's. Yeah, I'm sort of displaying the symptoms of burnout, but that's.
I'm fucking knackered. Just like
burning the candle at both ends.
But it is actually an interesting thing, because a lot of people in the creative space, and we were talking about it the other day, about. Having to create content, and not necessarily as content creators, but as musicians. I mean, we've discussed not liking the term content creator to describe ourselves, because we don't aimlessly create content. We're musicians creating musical content and stuff around that. So it's still content. We're still, you know, creating it, but we are more than just
It does have a connotation of just creating for creating's sake, rather than having some sort of force or reason behind it. But
yeah, but there is that pressure. I mean, in the online space, there's that pressure that you have to keep on, you know, doing it, you know, creating that content, whether it be a video or, you know, just putting stuff out there, an Instagram post. The thing with, I think, burning out, so there's that, and then you become a bit of a slave to the, we've spoken about algorithms and things like that. You can in the YouTube space be a slave to the algorithm, because it wants you to upload regularly, like every week.
Yeah.
So anybody who's heard me before, I do a bit of stuff completely away from my music. I do some tech videos. And I think I spoke about last week or the week before, either I was working on one or I just released one. And it's gone quite well. It's got, like, for me,
I've got to say that the latest tech video you have put out is pretty fucking brilliant.
You've had a good look at it, have you?
I have, yeah.
So, I mean,
it's really, really good.
I pride myself on trying
to. I would suggest everyone to go and check out Tech My Life
video. I'll put a link on.
You should.
On the podcast page.
He's not paying me for it. It's true. It's actually the stuff on there is really cool.
The thing is that it can become quite addictive, because, like, I put that video up, and if you look at my the graph of my views, having not put a video up since the start of the year, just haven't, you know. Maybe because of burnout, or maybe just other things, you know, so many things that you're busy with. I hadn't done it. And so I put this video out, and it's actually gone really well, like a lot of engagement in the comments, and which has been really, really good. And some other people who are, you know, that I interact with on Twitter jumping across and do it. But it comes kind of addictive. It's like, oh, should I do another one? And I've seen other people on YouTube get back into it, and they're like, oh, I'm pumping out. I'm getting back into it. I'm pumping out 4 videos this week. It's like, you're going to burn yourself out. Because if you don't get the expectation, you know, like, I could go, oh, I've got to do another one this week. And it's just like, no, look, it's just like, just, you know, calm the farm. It doesn't have to go. You don't have to go from zero to every week.
Yeah.
Like that.
No.
My thing is, plan the next one, work through, do the next one. And like all of us, I've got stuff going on. My parents are moving house at the moment, which we were chatting about earlier, and I'm helping them kind of sort through a lot of stuff after having not moved for 20 years. And, you know, you got that going, and I had a couple of gigs on the weekend, and you got stuff going on. And I took all my gear with me that I could work on a video when I was away. But I drove for 3 hours, played a gig for 3 hours, and then went to the hotel, and I was knackered. And I had a bit of a back issue, which is, you know, made me tired as well. And it's just like, oh, I can't be bothered.
Absolutely. And is that better now?
No.
Your back's still fucked. Okay.
I'm seeing somebody tomorrow. Hopefully that'll kind of get me back on track a little bit. But, you know, you can pile on and just kind of go, oh, I need to get another video out because I want to get those views. I want to get those, you know, that serotonin rush of the fact that I'm checking the stats going, this is great, everybody's watching, because it doesn't always happen like that. So it's been so I was consistent maybe 2 years ago with doing videos, did a lot of videos, but it's been 3 years since I've had a video that's had that many views.
Yeah.
I mean, the video 3 years ago has had 10,000 views, and then a little while up before that, there's one that's had like 50,000 or something. So I've got videos that have had quite a lot of views. But you can get that serotonin rush where suddenly you just go, oh, I've got to do more of this. And I'm sure you're the same with songwriting. You kind of do one thing and you get really excited.
Absolutely.
Finish that project. It's like, oh, next one.
Well, one of the – I've spoken a couple of times about – the songwriting challenges that I'm involved with. So Form, which is February album writing month, and 50-90, the 50 songs in 90 days. The challenge, 50 songs in 90 day challenge, is happening at the moment, but I've not done anything with it.
Right.
Because I just don't have the headspace for it. And there's just other things that are going on. And either you're right into it and you're doing it, or you don't. You know, there's no sort of middle way. There's no middle ground with that.
Yeah.
But when you're...
It's kind of like a whirlwind. You either get sucked into it and you're just
absolutely
getting thrashed around, or you're just kind of sitting back watching.
When you're in the middle of it, I find myself constantly checking my account with, say, 5090, for instance. Cause
yes.
Because you have a profile and you upload your songs there and people comment on it. And, you know, 2, 3, 4 times a day I'm going on there to see if there's any more comments on the songs. There's your dopamine hit. Bang, you know. And, yeah, it gets really obsessive after a while.
Yeah.
Because you're chasing... You know, you're chasing that sort of you're chasing the likes, you're chasing the comments, you're chasing the feedback, and irrespective of whether you're, you know, a young and starting out or an old hack like myself, you know, dopamine is dopamine. It's really powerful, you know?
Yeah.
And it just forms these addictive sort of pathways in your brain that you can't really shake off that easy. And But this year, you know, I've gotten to 13 songs, and then there was a couple of things that happened and the momentum stopped. And so once the momentum stops with me, it's just really hard to get that momentum going. And I've moved on from that. I'm doing other work, other songwriting work, other production work and all of that sort of stuff. And I just don't have the energy to, you know, pile something else on.
Yeah.
That, you know, what I get back from it, although it's great networking and you know, it's really good practice, you know, in terms of working Logic Pro X and all that sort of stuff. It's like, it's not giving me the same sort of, satisfaction as it had in the past.
No, it's like, I mean, it's like going
to... But, you know, it's like with anything.
I was going to say, it's like going to an open mic.
Yeah.
You know, it's in the same kind of way. You've kind of, the other songwriting stuff you're doing is kind of more important and, you know, a step up from, you know, maybe the songwriting challenge. And, like, I would go, well, I've kind of outgrown open mics to a degree
mm-hmm.
where... I mean, I might do it if it was overseas or something like that, because it's just you're finding a new audience. But here, it's kind of like you feel like a duck out of water. You feel out of place because often you at open mics, the other people are amateurs, and they're doing it for a little bit of experience and exposure. And if you walk in there and start playing, it's just like, well, I can't do this for a job. And it's not worth my energy and time going and doing that, because really I feel like I'm treading on toes a lot of the time.
Right.
And it's, yeah. It just feels like...
I suppose it's similar. I mean,
you've got to focus your energy somewhere, and it's just like...
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I certainly don't mind going to an open mic and all that sort of stuff, because it's a social thing for me. And you know a lot of the people that are there, because they do hop from one open mic to another. But at the same time, I've chosen to go there. It hasn't been thrust upon me like a songwriting challenge is.
No. Yeah, you know, I get what you're saying, yeah.
But, yeah, it is a very similar thing. And I think it just depends on the person. You know, it depends on, you know, just depends on your outlook towards that particular event or that particular open mic or just the concept of an open mic or a gig or whatever. It just depends on the person, you know. It's neither good or bad. It just... You know, there's no right or wrong in it. It just is. So, but I see your point though. When you have made the choice to do something and you have the headspace to do something like create the content, I think it's important to know where your limits are in terms of how much you can create and not get sucked into just having to try to be all things to all people and just please people. Because you see a lot of, say, YouTubers, for instance, that, you know, they'll put up a video saying, oh, I'm going to take a break for a while because my mental health is really bad and I'm having to put all these videos out. And I'm sitting there watching it saying to myself, well, don't put so many videos out then.
You know,
it's like if you are doing a video every day or every second day or something like that and you can't handle that, and that's not good or bad, it's just if you physically can't handle that because that's what your life is, either do something about your life so you can do
that
or don't do it and just live your life what you're doing and put out what you can, you know. And the audience, if they really see value in your content, they'll wait. If they're really fickle as fuck and they just go somewhere else, well, then they're not your true bloody audience in the first place.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So
yeah, they're not like.
It's like if
we'll
they're not.
We'll be here when you need us. We're not going to unsubscribe because you've stopped uploading stuff. But next time you upload something, we'll be happy to receive it. But yeah, you do get this kind of the cart driving the horse. You know, like the kind of like the you know, it's the, like the passengers in the car are telling the driver where to kind of go, as opposed to the other way around. And I haven't actually seen. In all the YouTubers that I follow, that I've seen them kind of working towards a million subs, most of them burn out a little bit in doing that, and a lot of them burn out. I mean, it depends on the kind of YouTuber, but the ones where it's kind of somewhat invasive into their life, like if they're like a kind of I know ones that do sports reporting, you know, that's a little bit different. It's like they're treating it more like I'm a sports journalist, but I do it on YouTube, and they treat it, you know, a little bit more like that. I can see that they're not burning out as much. But the ones where it's kind of, you know, it's almost vlogish, you know. But they just burn out. They get to a million and they just stop. And they just their videos go from being regular to them needing a big break.
Yeah.
And you just see them going through those phases where they just they pile on to try to get to the million.
Yeah.
And they just burn themselves out completely.
Oh, exactly.
I mean, there'd be some argument to say. Some people would argue, but do that, and then you've kind of got over that mountain. And it's just like, but you could just maybe not destroy your mental health in the process. And what's going to happen next? You're going to start to head towards 2 million. You're going to do it again.
It's the same. It's like the old adage of the athlete that chases for their gold medal. They get their gold medal, and it's the absolute pinnacle of what they've done in their life.
Mm.
It's like, what happens after that? That's why so many athletes are fucked when they retire, because they get all their goals and they're fucking useless at everything else.
Yeah.
So what, they become sports journalists? What, take sleeping medication and run rampant, you know?
Get into
drugs and alcohol and all that sort of stuff, the very thing that they were fighting against when they were bloody, you know, doing their sport. So it's like, you know, once you get your gold medal... What, having your second gold medal is not going to cut it, because it's not going to be the same buzz as you're going to get with your first one.
Yes.
Getting the million subscribers, it's like no amount of subscribers is worth, you know, fucking your mental health up over. Really, it's just people pleasing, and it's almost its own pandemic in this society. You know, it's just people trying to bloody just. Please other people. Oh, if I get this, well, then people will like me. It's like it's really ridiculous. It's like if we're talking a lot about YouTube here, but if you want to create content about something that you're passionate in, just do it. You know, just do it. And okay, it's good to have goals and stuff like that, but no goal is worth killing yourself over. Because at the end of the day, the audience don't give a shit. You know, they're just takers. They're just taking.
In a lot of situations, they'll just move on to the next.
They'll just move on to the next one if you're not there. You know, but it's like you do it because you want to. You know, you do it because you feel like you have something to say, and you do it because you want to. You know, if you want to help people out, well, then create the value. You know, it's like if you're creating value for. Someone in the audience, well, then no amount it shouldn't matter how many times you put out that content. If you've created that value and that sort of unspoken dialogue, if they're searching for what it is that you're creating and there's an exchange there, well, then that's great. But just doing stuff so you can get to this sort of, you know, million subscribers level for whatever reason and burning yourself out in the process. It's like, it's so not worth it.
Yeah. I mean,
it really isn't.
I think the thing is that it's interesting how people, I mean, I guess, again, it's that it's like the gold medal kind of thing, because you do get the, you know, you kind of get the play button from YouTube. So that's the only thing that you get other, you know, I mean, the people, the sponsors that back your videos. Yeah, sure. I mean, if you have a few more followers, you know, you might get a little bit more. But the desperation that is attached to those kind of things is you know, it'll happen eventually, and you've got to strike the balance. I mean, the interesting thing you were talking about, like checking the songwriting site for the average person that's listening to this, it's like, just turn off notifications, because people do that with social media. I mean, they'll post a picture on Instagram, or they'll post something that's happened in their life on Instagram, and then they'll have notifications, and it'll be like, there's a little, you know, like a, you know, little number up in the corner.
Yeah.
There's a notification. Oh, somebody's, and you got to click on it. You can't not click on it, because it's, right. Oh, there's somebody, you know, maybe they've got maybe they're saying something nice about me, or and
that's right.
And the more you interact with those things, the more potential you have, you know, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's just like, the more you go back and comment, you know, and post stuff, the more people have a chance to comment and like, and then, and so you just get sucked into that world. I mean, I see people on Twitter who use Twitter endlessly.
Yeah.
And I have no addiction to Twitter whatsoever. I mean, I have a little bit of a look, you know, with the tech video and stuff like that, and just the Apple announcing new products and things like that. So I've had a bit of a look on there. I normally go on there and just take the piss a little bit, comment here and there. Very rarely just tweet. It's normally reply stuff. I mean, I do tweet occasionally, but
sure.
I'm not the kind of guy standing in the middle of the mall on a crate screaming, you know, which is what Twitter is. It's just you're screaming out into the ether and hoping somebody reacts.
Yeah.
You know, you're trying to desperately get somebody's attention. It's, you know, it's, that summed up Twitter perfectly. It's a bunch of people screaming in the street hoping somebody will listen. But it's so easy for even the average person just to get sucked into that.
It's very easy to be sucked in, because, as I said before, you know, dopamine is very, very powerful. It's like, why the hell would you want to run 42 kilometres in the marathon? It's like, why the fuck would you do that? Well, you get a dopamine hit from it, right? That's the only reason why people slog themselves out and run, is because they get this dopamine hit. If the dopamine hit wasn't there,
no, I mean,
you wouldn't slog yourself out doing it. Dopamine gets us to do really crazy shit because it's a pleasurable thing. You know, some people gorge themselves with lots of food and they get a dopamine hit from doing that, and then they feel like absolute crap afterwards, but then they'll do it again the next day because they get that dopamine hit. Some people spend hours upon hours playing games or Candy Crush or whatever it is, because they're solely designed to set off this, you know, this hit of dopamine at certain times, that it keeps you playing, it keeps you addicted, it keeps you on the screen, it keeps you engaged in some meaningless and mindless activity. But, you know, dopamine is what drives, you know, is one of the main drivers of society and developers of apps and games and even, you know, sort of content creation machines like YouTube. It's, you know, if dopamine wasn't such a powerful thing, well, then there wouldn't be likes and dislikes on counters on the videos. It's just like, well, people put the videos up there and that will be it. Yeah. But no, there's got to be some sort of benchmark against, you know, this is better than that. And everyone is just too busy comparing themselves.
We spoke about that in terms of the fact that with Instagram, you can, on a personal level, you can turn off seeing likes on other people's posts, so you don't have to, you, just to kind of try to eliminate some of that kind of competitive kind of or that jealousy you get. Kind of.
And the sad thing is that I'm sure that there are people that start off, you know, say writing songs or creating art or any type of creation. They're doing it because they have this intrinsic, visceral need to do it. And then they get addicted to the dopamine of the feedback of the positive responses. And then they're seeking out what is it that people want? And then they're creating the art or creating their product or creating whatever in accordance to what people like, and therefore turning their back on the authenticity that got them noticed in the first place.
Yeah.
That's the sad thing.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Once you start doing that, you then become a slave to the audience.
Mm.
And that's fucked. You don't want to do that, because at the end of the day, the audience is unforgiving, and you know, the more you give, the more that they will take. And at the end of the day, you'll kill yourself over it.
It's interesting, actually, if you take that into the real world, you hear a lot of like famous bands who tour the world playing stadiums.
Yeah.
And they talk about the fact that they almost try to make their tour endless, you know, so they're just always on the road because they can't handle being at home, because when they're on the road, it's just the adrenaline rush every going out on stage, and the, you know, having kind of people bowing down at their feet, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go and sit at home, and it's just like, you know, they get depressed and take drugs or alcohol, right. You know, so they intentionally say, just book gigs, stay on the road all the time.
Yeah.
So I can keep myself, you know, on that high and avoid all the bad things that come with it.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is that, I mean, you were talking about like things like Candy Crush and obviously, you know, you were talking about eating as well and things like that. And smoking is another classic example. The things that a single cigarette does for you, which is why that people who used to go off to war used to smoke cigarettes, because a single cigarette like lowers your blood pressure. And it can calm you, like if you're using a rifle or whatever in a war situation. But the long-term effects are exactly the opposite of the short-term effects.
Yes.
And it's, you know, it is that vicious kind of cycle that we get in. Yeah. I think the other thing with our world, kind of getting back to kind of probably more the burnout kind of thing as a whole topic, is that the world is so demanding of us that we're talking recently in one of the episodes about everybody wanting everything now.
Yes.
And so, you know, we're impatient, but that means everybody else is a bit impatient. Everybody else is expecting everything now. So there's this kind of pressure. You know, you and I, outside of music, have done work or do work in, you know, like web development.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll get people who just, you know, you get somebody who sends you an email, and they go, oh, I just need some updates on the website. And then they'll ring you before you've even had a chance to read and respond to the email. Do you get my email? It's like, yeah. And it's just like, can you do that? It's like, yeah. And it's just like, can you do it today? And it's just like, no. It's just like, you know, I wasn't just sitting, you're sitting here twiddling your thumbs, you know.
Yeah.
And I mean, I have some clients who contact me and they say, they'll ring me first and say, I want to email you some stuff. Like, I really need this updated. Is there any chance you could do it? And that's like a different approach, but like sending an email and then following up. But it's kind of, there's a lot of, get it done now. Has to be done now.
Mm.
And so that just creates this, you know, we're like a rat on a mouse on a,
yeah, on a wheel. Treadmill. Yeah.
And it's just going faster and faster. Yeah. And, you know, if you stop running, you just get thrown around in circles, kind of thing. Yeah.
Well, the person who is in that situation would probably feel that if they stop, you know, if they're the hamster in the wheel and they stop the wheel, then they're not going to get any more work, you know, or they're not going to get any more audience, or the audience that they do have is going to leave them, or whatever.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I've always said that you work to the capacity that you can work. And if you provide value in what you do, whether it is, you know, an artist or you're in business or you're a musician or whatever, if you are able to provide value to someone, well, then they will wait. If you can only put out, you know, getting back to the YouTube example, if you can only put out one video a week, right?
Yeah.
Fine. Put out the one video a week. Don't feel compelled that you have to put it out every second day, because if, you know, the most important thing that you should be thinking about as a creator of anything is providing value for your audience, providing value for your readers, your viewers, your fans, whoever the end recipient of your creation is, if you create the value, they'll wait. Now, if they don't wait, if they go and see somebody else, well, then good. They can get fucked. You know, they weren't meant to be your audience in the first place, or you've not created value. Not because what you do is bad, is because they just haven't perceived it as value. That's okay. If they're just hopping from one person to another because they're addicted to gathering information and content because it's a form of procrastination for their own endeavours, well, then you can't control that.
No, I mean,
what you do, especially as a musician, for instance, it's like, you know, what you do with your music that you write is you're educating people to get into something that they haven't heard before rather than just slip into the very comfortable sort of slipper of nostalgia and, you know, mediocrity with covers and tribute bands and all of that sort of stuff. You know, it's like, you know, when you write a song and you present it in a live format, you know, you're wanting people to hear that for the first time and find some sort of value in that, you know. So...
But you've got to understand the game as, in a sense to understand it can get like that.
Of course.
You know, so you don't kind of get so you don't let it control you. You can kind of, you know, I guess.
Yeah, you need to have the control over sort of the output that you put out and not let the audience dictate to you when it should happen. It should be the other way around.
Yeah. It's interesting, I mean...
Because you're of no use to anybody if you burn out, you know. If you're in a plane and you get into trouble and those things, those masks come down, you know, you put your own mask on first before you put someone else's mask on, right? Because if you're dying of bloody lack of oxygen, what use are you to anybody else? You know, so if you're creating anything and you're just burning out, well, then how much value are you creating in the long run? Nothing.
Yeah.
You know, you see people, they create and then they don't and then they do. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I'm going to create now. You know, bloggers are notorious for this. I'm notorious for this. You know, so I've been away for a while. I'll start creating again. Then you do that for 6 months and then you disappear again. Everyone's going, where you get, you know, if you just amortize itself out, you know, instead of trying to do it post every day, you know, it's like once a week thing. Well, then, you know, it's sustainability, consistency is the thing that sort of drives the point home.
Yeah, I mean, and I think with those sorts of things also is it become it's creating people do things when they're motivated. A bit like, you know, I was talking about with the tech video, I'm kind of like, oh, I'm motivated to do another one. But you get the motivation, but what you have to develop is the routine. Motivation wanes. Routines don't. So if you've got no motivation to get up in the morning and you haven't developed a routine to get up and do something, so I get up and do yoga and exercises in the morning, and that's my thing that I do, and the time varies because depending on when I get to bed, you know, if I'm playing a gig that might not finish until late, but you know, normally around the 10 o'clock, but I used to go to bed at like 2 o'clock in the morning. So now I go to bed, you know, 10 to 11 kind of time.
Yeah.
But I've developed a routine now where it's just like it would feel completely unnatural if I got up and didn't do yoga and stretches and stuff like that and other exercises. It requires zero motivation. I get up in the morning, it's like, it's as natural as kind of swinging your feet and putting them on the floor.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't even think about it.
So you salute the sun and do the downward dog before breakfast, I would imagine.
Kind of, yeah.
Cool. That's great.
And so even when I was away, you know, like a hotel room, you know.
That's when you know it's a routine, when you're out of your...
Yeah.
When you're out of your normal environment and you can still do it.
Yeah. And, I mean, I went away... Cool. You know, there was a month or so ago, I went away with Annette and my wife and, you know, we both did... yoga the few days we were away. I think two or three days we were just away from it's just part of the routine, so you just get up and do it, and you know, it's just, it is what it is. I was going to say though, I mean, it's interesting, I was kind of watching this, kind of came up, I mean, it was interesting that you brought it up yesterday. We were doing some recording yesterday, and you brought up about talking about burnout, and I said we should talk about this. And the interesting thing was I'd had some videos kind of come up on YouTube, and it's one of those things where it's just like, did I speak the word burnout, and YouTube started, recommending videos?
Yeah,
because it was basically, I had these videos kind of come up, so I was, and one of them, so I watched a few of them just to kind of, see more of it from a medical perspective, I guess, that it's, they're looking at it being a genuine thing rather than people just going, oh, I'm burnt out, I've overworked. And the interesting thing was that the methodology to get around it was, and anybody can experience this, so if you're listening and you're not a creative person, it's just like you could just be busy with, work and taking care of relatives or, parent or kids or, caring for somebody or...
Or just trying to keep up with life.
Yeah, I mean,
could
be any number of things. I mean, you kind of, you're helping out a social group, or just little things. It can be just the housework or whatever. It can tire you out. But the interesting, there was some interesting methods of, like, the number one way of kind of helping with the burnt out kind of sensation, which is you just don't have any motivation for the things that you used to do. That's pretty much the sign.
Yeah,
you're just kind of like, I can't be bothered doing this stuff, It's not like you're kind of like, I want to end it all. It's not that. It's just like, you're just like...
Yeah, it's just meh.
About the things you really love.
Yeah.
So it'd be me like going, I can't be bothered playing a guitar or writing a song today. I can't be bothered, watching tech videos that other people have done or looking at technology stuff or, I don't want to go for a mountain bike ride, It's all those kind of sorts of things.
Exactly.
But the interesting thing is talking about it was one. The next one was exercise. So... and I'm almost guaranteed that if I don't feel like going for a bike ride, if I go for one, I really enjoy it. It's just, it's just, exercise helps, level out serotonin levels and all those kind of things. But the other one was holidays, which obviously none of us can do, because, I know that overseas is got a lot more movement than we do in Australia.
Sure.
But you could also do things, outside the box, try to, holiday at home, so to speak.
Staycations.
Yeah, just do something, radically change, what you're going to do for the next week, and just go, I'm going to treat it like a holiday. I'm going to get up and watch all three Lord of the Rings movies in one day, that kind of thing. mindfulness is the next one, which is a mindfulness and meditation. But the other one, which I think is quite interesting and actually applies to me, which is knowing the personality types, and I think they probably apply to you as well, perfectionist and somebody who cares about other people, like, you're worrying about other people and how other people are getting on and those kind of things.
Yeah.
And I'm big on both of those. I mean, I mentioned about helping my parents move at the moment, and that's my mum and my stepfather, and my dad passed away, and I was helping him a lot with stuff in previous years, and... I'm always worrying about those sorts of things.
Yeah.
And then perfectionist, that's me to a T. So it's interesting even just knowing those things, knowing those kind of list of types of things about dealing with it. It's like, if you feel it coming on, talk to somebody about it. If you feel it coming on, go and do some exercise. If you feel it, meditate. If you feel it coming on, maybe it's time to get away and, have some sort of break. But also be aware if you're one of those personality types, which is really kind of susceptible to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And going on with the personality types, it's also a good opportunity to look at your place in the whole scheme of things in terms of, the world and life and all of that sort of stuff. And I think we were touching on this in a previous conversation that we had, that you hear of people say that life and the world is, busier, and there's more to do than it used to be. And, life is so busy now, we're all trying to catch up with life, and everyone's just so stressed because they're just having to, there's just more to do and all of that sort of stuff. And it seems that that's the case, but I reckon, and I'm going to put this out there, see what people think, I reckon that it's not life that's become busier. It's just we've found it necessary to fill it in with more stuff. So the world isn't busier. Life isn't busier. We can be as busy or as not as busy as we choose to be.
Yeah.
And I think it's how we perceive what we do in accordance to how it affects everybody else that determines how busy or how not busy we are within the world. Because the world is the world, you know. The world doesn't care. The world just exists. The world is. You know, if we weren't here, the sun would still rise the next day. It wouldn't matter. So if you find that you're just doing a lot of things, you know, are you doing a lot of things because... are you doing things because you choose to do a lot of things, or are you doing a lot of things because you are a slave to people's demands of you?
I was going to say, you mentioned it when we were talking about FOMO.
The fear of missing out. It's like parents that get their kids to do all these extracurricular activities.
Yeah.
I don't understand that, you know. And then they wonder why their kids get stressed out and sick.
Yeah. They either encourage them to do them all, or they let them do them all. And it's just like, no, you have to make a choice. You know, like in life, you have to make choices.
Yeah.
You can't have a different activity every single night of the week.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like...
Let me also just say that I don't have kids, so at the end of the day, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. No, when it comes to that. But I've always found it really, really, really strange that some parents, you know, they just pile all this activity on their kids, and their kids just, you know, aren't allowed to just be kids and play and just do shit. They always have to, it's always regimented, formalized activity that they're doing, you know. And it's just like, what for?
Yeah.
You know, I don't understand. And the thing is that I never really had that when I was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is not necessarily back in my day and all that sort of stuff, but it's like the world was exactly the same when I was growing up as opposed to now. It's just, I suppose, my parents chose not to, you know, have me involved. I mean, you know, I played football and cricket and did this and all that sort of stuff, but I didn't feel the need to fill my life in with absolutely everything because I didn't have this fear of missing out, or my parents wanted me to, you know, do all this sort of stuff so they didn't have to look after me, so someone else could look after me. Maybe that's the reason. I don't know. But it's like there seems to be this real need to have for parents to manufacture burnout in their kids by just having them do all this stuff. Now, I suppose what I'm saying with that is I'm extrapolating that to, you know, adults burning themselves out. Is the demand of their circle of friends and the general public onto that particular person who's burning out the same way as the parent is to the child?
Right. You know, yeah, yeah.
Can you see where I'm probably not explaining that very well, but I'm just trying to sort of draw a parallel between the parent forcing a lot of stuff on their kids and the kids doing it and they're burning out, rather as opposed to the public's demand on any individual, you know, whether it's work, job, friends, social circle, whatever, as the same sort of intent as the parent with the child.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of going kind of right back to, you know, talking about the world speeding up, I feel like that because of the communication speed up that we've had, like everything is accessible. That's created the impatience. Everything can happen now. I can do everything. So everybody is drawn into that beast. I mean, it doesn't mean that you can't. Like people have the.
You can step away though from it. It's not. a foregone conclusion that, you know, you have to get onto that treadmill and run like buggery.
Yeah, I was going to say. I mean, I know it's coming back to the YouTube example, but I mean, looking at people who've got lots of followers and make a living, a very good living out of YouTube,
yeah,
and they have deleted all of the apps off their phone. They don't have Twitter or Instagram, and I mean, I've heard some say, I'll just do it on my computer, so I can only do it when I'm sitting down, so I can't just be checking all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm not a slave to that. And there's others who say, I'll download the app, post, and then delete the app again, just so they slow down the process. So they're trying to create that slowing down, right, that you're kind of talking about, to try to slow that kind of hamster wheel down a little bit.
Yeah.
And we all just get drawn into that achieve, achieve, achieve. You know, what have you achieved today? What are you, you know, what are you, it's goal, goal, goal. And there seems to be there's no slow burn. There's like a haste to that. And I think parents with their kids, it's just like, you know, they're just trying to, I guess, make them overachieve. They're kind of like looking at their own life and saying, oh, you've got to have all this, you've got to do all this stuff. And they see the competition. They look on Instagram and the other parents.
It's all about comparisons.
Keeping up with the Joneses. Yes, you know, exactly. The Joneses can go fuck off as far as I'm concerned. It's just like, no, just do you. Do you. You know?
There's no one else. Yeah. Everyone else is taken.
I had to make a 21st speech recently, and I just said, you know. Be yourself because everybody else is taken. Yeah. And my son does a very good job of that. And it's just like,
your son rocks in terms of being him. No, yeah. Honestly.
And the thing is that's
what I wish I had that when I was his age.
That's what you know, you just got to do that. Mm. But the ability to, you know, take a step back from, you know, I mean, it's even the fact that we're always doing something now. And not that I want you guys to stop listening to this podcast when you're out for a walk, but a lot of people, when you go out and exercise now, you got the phone with you.
Yeah.
You got the headphones in. I was going to say AirPods, but that would be brand, you know, Apple aren't sponsoring us. So, but you know, you've got your headphones in, you're listening to your music or your podcast when you're out exercising. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'll go out on it for a ride and go, oh, I didn't put my headphones on. It's like, so I'll just listen to the world around me. And, you know, it's just that negative space. It's like you go to the toilet, you got your phone with you. Do you know what I mean? And that kind of thing where it's like, it's always with you. Like you're sitting on a bus.
Yeah.
What did you used to do when you sat on a bus? You used to stare out the window. I remember going to Melbourne a few years back and I would have had a phone. But on the train, I just sat there and stared out the window, and I love watching the suburbs go by on the train, and because you're seeing the world from a different perspective, because it's like you're seeing the backstage in a theatre, because you're seeing the backs of all the buildings, and it's just that give yourself the moments to switch off from all of this stuff. So sometimes when you go for a walk, listen to the Soul Trader podcast. Sometimes.
Other times.
Don't. And it's like I do yoga enough when I'm watching a video.
In between times that we release, don't.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, once a week, give it a go. But the thing is that, I like watch yoga and watch a video. And then sometimes I just want to do it without the video and just do it from my memory and just relax and be all as zen as possible with it.
Exactly. I mean, it does sound like that, you know, I'm dumping shit on humanity and saying that, you know, we're choosing to make our lives busy and all that. It's not. It's society has, by stealth, created an environment that we've all bought into, that life is busy. And so, therefore, if we buy this latest product to make our lives easier and all of that sort of stuff, you know, it's all created so we can consume more. You know, consume more products that are supposedly to make our lives easier, or to, you know, eat this food because it's quicker than making it yourself and all of that sort of stuff. It's all quick in there. And it never works, because we need to make the conscious choice to not burn ourselves out. You know, we didn't choose to live the life we live necessarily, because we're in this society that, you know, it's by stealth. You know, all of a sudden you wake up in the morning and, you know, you you get out of bed and all of a sudden you've got advertisers screaming at you to buy this, buy that, and all that sort of stuff, and your head gets full of stuff and you feel like the world's going to cave in. I mean, this is what happens to me, you know, at times. It's like, oh, my God, you know, just the world's going to cave in. And it's like the only way that you can stop it is not to buy the next product and make life easier for you. It's to actually make the conscious decision to get off the treadmill.
Yeah.
And it's in finding... it's in finding that solution, which is different to everybody, you know, that's the only answer to not having burnout. You know, it's to just change your perspective, change your attitude towards, you know, how I'm living my life. You know, it's to the point now where I read a book. You know, I don't read a book because I feel, I don't necessarily read books because I feel guilty. If I'm sitting there reading a book, well, in the past, probably not now, but in the past, I wouldn't necessarily read a book, sit still and read a book because I should be doing something. You know, I should be doing something with my time, not sitting here reading a book. It's not an effective use of time. It's like, well, who says that?
I used to feel that,
you know,
about music.
That society, that is the societal thing that we have, you know, that we're living in, and it plants this seed in our head saying that if you're not doing something, if you're not achieving something, if you're not consuming something, you are less of a human being than what you are.
Yeah.
And that is, and you know, and it's all fueled by, you know, dopamine response and all that sort of stuff. It becomes hardwired, and getting yourself out of that,
yeah,
it's really fucking difficult. But once you do that, though, then, you know, burnout becomes more of a thing of the past rather than something that you experience now.
Yeah. Here's a note to end on.
Yeah.
Based on what you've just said.
Yes.
Is that you felt guilty reading a book. I've had times when I felt guilty playing the guitar and writing songs because I thought, this is not earning me money. This is not earning me money right now. I should be working on a website. You know, I should be bringing people to get website work. I was literally giving up the thing that I enjoy the most because of that guilt trip to the machine that was kind of dragging me in and saying, you should be doing this.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
So thank you for listening to the Soul Trader podcast. Very deep episode.
Yeah.
But comment and let us know about your experiences with burnout, if you've had it, and you know, maybe how you cope with it or deal with it, or how you have dealt with it, or if you're suffering it at the moment. You might be in lockdown and that might be burning you out because you're just having to do that every
absolutely,
day.
Absolutely, yeah.
Let us know. Comment on our social media posts around the place, Twitter, as we were mentioning earlier, and Facebook and so forth, Instagram. Tickus Tokus and all those places. But yes, this has been episode 20.
Yeah, 20.
20.
Yes.
Soul Trader podcast. Thanks for listening.
And ciao for now.
See ya.
You have been listening to the Soul Trader podcast, music, creativity, and other plans with your hosts, Simon James Betts and Corey Stewart. Be sure to check out soultradermusic.com and CoreyStewartOnline.com. See you next week.